Hey everybody, welcome back to the Sixer Sense podcast. I'm Lucas, this is Chris. And we took a break because honestly, we were just so upset that the New York Knicks won the NBA final. No, I'm joking, of course. Congratulations to the Knicks. Their fans finally deserve to have something good in their lives. That being said, Chris, we're not here to talk about NBA finals or NBA playoffs. We're actually just here to talk about your favorite subject, the draft.
Yeah, I mean, what else are we going to talk about this time of year, Lucas? We are exactly 1 week away from the first round of the 2026 NBA draft. The Sixers are like just starting to bring people in for workouts, which is
That's awesome. Crazy.
Mike Gansey will be making his first big decision as Sixers president here in a week. So we're going to record right before the draft, day before, to do a full Sixers preview breakdown, talk about all our favorite prospects. Today, though,
we're going to do another. Sorry. I don't mean to break you off here, but you got to record about the Mike Gansey thing. I didn't even get to talk about it. That's my guy. That's WVU heart and soul right there. I am so excited just because I'm a fanboy about it. And yes, I am fanboying about it a little bit. Don't judge me. That being said, look, he's a more than qualified guy. We talked about it already. That being said, yeah. And Jameer Nelson, good job getting the executive vice president job, too. Well-deserved.
Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic. I thought his introductory press conference was pretty promising.
Yeah.
Seems like the right guy, all things considered.
He's a culture guy. We have not had a culture guy in the front office in a very long time. Let's be real. Sadly, I think the closest thing that we've gotten to a culture guy was since Billy King, and that is not a compliment.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Elton Brand was trying to be a culture guy, but I don't think that
He was a buddy-buddy guy, not a culture guy.
Yeah. Look, I like everything Mike Gansey said. I'm excited for him, Lucas. Today, though, we're doing the mock. This time, we're going to try to predict what teams will do. Instead of in past versions of this, we've done what we would do, which means me taking Cam Boozer number one. Today, we're going to predict what we think will happen at each pick in the first round. Who do you want to go first?
I went first last time. You go first. No. You went first last time. I'm going first this time.
Okay.
So let's
Washington Wizards.
This is such a tough call because I just saw. I don't know if did you see the. I think it was Jake Fisher, or am I getting the wrong beat writer? One of the Jakes. I'm sorry. I cover football as well. I don't think it's Jake Fisher. Tweeted out today that the. That the Wizards are open to trading. Who was it? They were open to trading.
Trae Young.
It was Jake Fisher. My bad. Yeah. So if depending on if they go Darren Peterson. Darren Peterson has only visited with the Wizards. I hate to do this because I... You know what? Gosh. Better, neither are a great fit, to be honest, because unless they trade Kayla, I hate this, Chris. I'm gonna go with what I was thinking. I'm gonna say Darren Peterson going against the grain. I think they go Darren Peterson. Maybe it's AJ DeBonsa, but I think with that report from Jake Fisher, and I trust Jake Fisher,
Well, I mean, Jake Fisher did not report that the Wizards are going to take Darren Peterson.
No, he did not.
Trae Young.
I think that's impacted based off of what if they do draft Darren Peterson, but who knows? I'll go Darren Peterson.
I don't even know. I don't think there's like – I've also seen reporting that Peterson doesn't view Trae Young as an impediment. I don't think there's any real problem with playing those guys together.
The fact is that Peterson's only visited with the Wizards and DeBonsa's visited with the Wizards.
Yeah,
that
doesn't really guarantee anything.
That doesn't. But, I mean, look, maybe AJ DeBonsa is the right answer, but you got to go Cameron Brewster. I'm going to go Peterson here. So who do the Jazz take here second overall? Now, I know you would say Cameron Brewster.
They would take DeBonsa. There's really no doubt there.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, look, DeBonsa went to BYU. Jazz owner went to BYU. There's a ton of connections there. He's been in Utah for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Utah has wanted him since
ever.
Forever ago. So,
yeah.
They would definitely take AJ. I don't think they maybe should take AJ, but again, this is a predictive mock. I still think Dibonsa is going to go to Washington. He feels more like a Washington pick to me, but.
I mean, look, I don't mind switching it up. Do you want to just, yeah.
I don't think Peterson is impossible. I think that would be a better pick. I would pick him over Dibonsa.
Okay.
Personally. So.
Okay. This is where it gets tricky, because I think the better pick for Memphis here at number three would be Caleb Wilson. But I mean, look, if Cameron Boozer's there, I don't see them passing him. I think Cameron Boozer's the pick here at three.
Yeah, I agree. Wilson is in no way the better pick, but that's fine.
I think he's a better fit. I don't think he's the better pick. But, I don't think so. Agree to disagree. But anyway.
I'd like to have... Edie has started to shoot a bit, but I don't think the spacing with Wilson would be awesome. And Boozer's just so far ahead of the curve offensively. Yeah. He's quite a good defender himself. Obviously, yeah. Caleb has a much higher ceiling on that end, but he's also a lot less developed on both sides of the ball. So I'd take Boozer. I think that's the right pick. Obviously, Wilson is going to go to Chicago at four.
Okay, but, like, can I make the argument here for Darius Acuff there going to Chicago at four? No, you don't even want to hear it? Okay.
Please do, but you're burying yourself here.
Look, no, I'm just saying, like, I could see Darius Acuff being a really nice fit next to Josh Giddey. That's all I'm going to say. Caleb Wilson obviously has the highest upside between the two, but
But Giddey and Wilson are just going to run the floor together. I think that's an awesome fit. And
yeah, I mean, that's fine.
I think Wilson is a clear level above as a prospect.
Okay.
Acuff's not even my favorite of the guards in this next range, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
All right, Lucas, you're picking for the Clippers at five, which is really where the draft kind of starts. They've been connected to Mikal Brown, Keaton Wagler, Acuff, not really anymore, but... Seems like they could still go a few different directions here.
I mean, we both agree that we think a Demara would be like the ideal pick for them here. I don't think that's any argument, but if we're doing what they would do here, like if they want to go guard, like I think Mikal Brown is the best guard of this group here, if I'm being completely honest. Do I think they go there? No, I think they want to make sure that they have enough size on the perimeter, so they go Keaton Wagler here, putting next to Darius Garland.
That's fair. I would say that Wagler is only an inch taller than Mikal Brown and has a significantly shorter wingspan and is far less athletic. That would be my...
I don't disagree, but, you know, I'm not a GM that's, you know, thinking about this.
Sure. I mean, Wagler is still the predicted guy at ESPN and Bleacher Report, so
Tanker
definitely seems very possible that they go that direction.
Yeah.
Wouldn't absolutely hate it. Brooklyn at six is super interesting because they could do the Brooklyn thing and get extremely weird and go with, like, Nate Amendt or Kareem Lopez.
They have been connected to Nate Amendt a lot.
They have also been connected very heavily in recent days to both Acuff and Brown, which would be the more, like, kind of chalk best player available kind of pick.
Yeah.
I think we know that Sacramento wants Acuff. So I have a feeling, I have a hunch, just knowing what we know about Brooklyn's front office, that a lot of the reported Acuff buzz there is probably a bit of posturing to try to get Sacramento to move up. That's my guess.
Do you think... I could see if we're going with that scenario, right? Like, you know, Sacramento sends them a bad contract. It could be as simple as like Monk's contract, or it could be DeMar, or a bad contract, right? You send a bad contract, you move up a spot, but then they also have to send like a future first or maybe two future first or something like that. I could see a deal like that forming where they get it off
a bad contract. They're going to take on a bad contract to move down.
Well, I mean, they would get also picks. They get picks on top of the back.
You just get picks. You wouldn't be taking on bad money.
I don't know. We'll see.
I'm going to go Mikal Brown here.
You going to go Mikal Brown?
I'm gonna pray for my Nets friends and hope that it's not Nate Amendt. I think Brown...
I think it is going to be Nate Amendt, though. I'm going to be honest.
His size, he's very creative. He kind of fits their vision, I think. I think that would be... much closer to the correct pick. They've also been connected to Mara. That's wouldn't be a bad pick there either, but I'm going to
go. But they have Nick Claxton, so they would have to move on from Nick.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
They can get off Nick's deal pretty easily. They'll find a suitor for him. Okay, well, thank you for hand-delivering Darius Acuff to the Sacramento Kings, who, president of basketball operations, coached his dad once upon a time. Clearly they need offense, and if they're going to be a defensive-minded team, they have to have at least one offensive player. And for everybody saying, oh, he's too small, well, Jalen Brunson was considered too small, so let's not, write off that book yet. Okay, now granted, different players, yeah. Who knows, but, that could be the mindset there.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I would caution teams that Brunson is very clearly a massive outlier, but the Kings are definitely going to take Acuff if he's there. That seems like the most obvious pick in the draft, maybe. Atlanta at 8, I'll just go with what I did in my mock today, and that's Kingston Flemix. I think they could go Mara. They could go Burries. There are a couple options here, but they need a point guard to kind of take the mantle from CJ McCollum, and I think Flemings fits as like a good culture guy, can get out on the fast break with Jalen Johnson and those guys, give them another advantage creator in the half court.
Not a bad defender.
No, frankly, a very good defender. He's my favorite guard in this range, so I think that would be an awesome pick for the Hawks.
Look, he's my second favorite. All seriousness, he's my second favorite guard, so I don't hate that. Brayden Burries has been connected to the Dallas Mavericks here at number 9. It almost seems as if his agents want him to go there. I'm going to go Brayden Burries here. Good, combo guard, can play on or off the ball next to Cooper Flagg. Not much else to say there.
Yeah, it definitely is not a bad pick. I wonder if Burries really fits the mold of like a Masai Ujiri, Mike Schmidt's pick, though. I do question
that's a fair point, because if we're looking on this list, like Jaxel Lendenborg or Nate Ament or even Cameron Carr would be more of those type of guys.
I wrote my mock again that came out this morning. I gave them Mara. So I
you
could
think
see
Mara
them getting
okay.
funky.
They would have to trade Derek. Well, they don't have to. They're
you
playing.
Have two good centers. You're allowed to have that.
I guess. Yeah. All right. Number 10, Chris. This is where it gets interesting.
I think the Bucks take him in. Nate him in.
Okay, that's fine.
This is how their front office operates. They take the upside swings. They don't often pan out, and that's what Bucks fans will have to deal with.
Okay. Now, recently, look, I don't disagree. I think the Bucks are kind of a wild card there at 10, to be completely honest. So Nate Ament seems fine to me there. 11th here, that's Golden State Warriors. Now, recently, I've been hearing stuff about Adem Mara, but I don't like Adem Mara in Golden State. I don't. Because I don't like Steve Kerr as a coach, and I think Steve Kerr would ruin him. I do. Agree to disagree if you want. I think they want a super senior, and I think Jaxel Lendenborg makes a lot more sense for them there. So I'm going to go Jaxel Lendenborg.
Yeah, I think that's a fair pick. If OKC is still sticking there at 12, I think they go with Adem Mara.
That's fine.
I Hartenstein's about to hit free agency. They could always use more front court depth. I don't think he's like a Wimby stopper or anything, but more size, good passer, kind of fits their general vibe. So, Dimar to OKC.
Yeah, I know. Hey, look, that's fair. All right, so that leaves the Miami Heat here at 13. Miami usually goes best player available. I think there's three options here that you can go with. You can go with LeBron Filon. You can go with Cameron Carr or Morez Johnson Jr. I think that they need more point guard help. So I'm going to go with LeBron. How do you pronounce his name?
LeBaron.
LeBaron, sorry. LeBaron Filon. I'm going to go him with Miami at 13.
All right. I think that's a good pick. He has been connected to Miami. If they're about to trade Tyler Hero, they wouldn't even have this pick, but
yeah,
I think Filon makes sense.
Well, and he would make sense for Milwaukee too.
Yeah, no, he's also been connected to Milwaukee. So I think that's a good guy to put at 13. That's who I had going to 13 today in my mock to the Bucks because I made up a Giannis trade.
Okay.
14, the Charlotte Hornets. They have kind of developed a new type recently. And last year they went for all the big, strong, kind of proven winning types with high feel and good complementary skill sets rather than the Tijan Salon kind of random upside swings. So they could go with the other Michigan guy, Imerez Johnson, which would make a lot of sense here. I could see them being a team that takes a swing on like a Jaden Quaintance or a Hans Steinbach. I'm going to give them Imerez Johnson Jr., though.
That makes sense. Because, I mean, look, then you have a three-man rotation at center Merez can play power forward, I guess. But you could – I see him more as an NBA center, if I'm being honest. What?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think he's more than capable of defending out on the perimeter.
I'm talking more offensively, though.
You know, he can hit spot-up jumpers, score. I think he has the off-ball kind of feel to be a forward. He needs to add a little bit. I agree that, you know, he's somewhat limited in his offensive capacities right now, but he's very good at a few small things. So,
well, if worst case scenario, you have a third playable center with him, him and Kalkbrenner, and then Moose. So
Musa, yeah.
Yeah,
so I like that pick a lot for Charlotte. I think that would be a great outcome.
Okay, so then we have the Bulls. The Bulls want Caleb Wilson, number four. So now they have to figure out. I think they go guard here. I think that's probably the best bet. Now, question is, who? And I kind of want them to take a little bit of a swing here. And, well, honestly, choices. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to have them go Cameron Carr here. Him and Josh Giddey would be fun.
Yeah, I think that's a fair one.
You get super athletic with him and Wilson on the, you know, surrounding Giddey.
Yeah, a lot of length, a lot of shot blocking. I dig it. Memphis at 16 to pair with Cam Boozer. Could go a few different directions here. I think they end up going with a guard to replace John Morant, if I had to guess. So I think like Quaintance and Alan Graves and guys like that would fit their kind of draft strategy broadly, and I wouldn't rule that out. I really like Bennett Sturts. I really like Ibaka Okoro. I'm going to go with the younger guy who just put up monster numbers all year. I'll give them Ibaka Okoro.
Okay.
At 16.
I was thinking of a younger guard too, so that's fine, yeah.
All right. You're picking for OKC, Lucas. They picked Odaimara at 12.
Okay. So OKC got Odaimara at 12. Let's see here. They could lose some wing depth this offseason, depending on it. They might not even keep this pick. But you know what? I'm going to do a draft and stash here and go Kareem Lopez in case, you know what, they don't keep the pick. Or they could, draft and stash. I'm going to go Kareem Lopez.
Kareem Lopez. Well, he's staying overseas, but sure. I think that's the right pick. I don't think he's going to fall much further than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's a good fit for their system. He's a good slasher. Charlotte at 18. They took Merez Johnson at 14. They could double down in the front court. They could go for a guard to kind of pair with LaMelo on the perimeter. I'm going to give them another front court guy.
I'm going to
with Steinbach.
Okay, interesting. I would have gone Bennett Stritz here, to be honest with you. I thought getting another capable playing guard. But okay, sure. I mean, spicy. Again,
I think they need the size. They need the rebounding. I think you could make a strong case for Alan Graves, too. honestly, I might flip. I'm going to flip it to Alan Graves.
Okay. If that's what you think they'll do.
Not second. All right.
Okay.
Toronto at 19. All right. Yes.
All right. So Toronto at 19, we can agree they need guard help, right? So, like, how do we fix that? There's two options here. You either go Christian Anderson or you go Bennett Sturts. I'm going to go Sturts here because I think he's going to be more ready to play immediately. And I think that, you know, you can plug and play him quicker than you could. I think Christian Anderson will need a little bit of development.
Sure. Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that's a great outcome for Toronto. San Antonio at 20. They just got their butts kicked in the finals. It's kind of changes the outlook a little bit. I've seen them connected to Quaintance, Chris Sinek, and Alan Graves, were, I believe, the three names that Jeremy Wu mentioned.
Yeah.
In his piece. At ESPN. I think Quaintance is, like, really a, like, the idea of Quaintance and Wimby together is very spooky to me. If he gets healthy, like, that's just not a fair, it's not fair to
that's opponent. A big if, though.
It is a big if. I think Sinek is more of an, not the guy I would want to pair next to Wimby necessarily, but I can understand the vision.
I think Sinek would be a long-term piece there.
Don't even think Steinbach will be here, though. So if he does fall, I'm going to give them Steinbach.
Okay. All right.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
That does. If he's there. Probably not, but if he's there, cool.
Someone always falls. Someone's going to fall. Yeah. All right, Lucas. Detroit at 21. Detroit.
Yeah, look, I said Chris Anderson was an option there for Toronto. I'm going to put him here for Detroit here. They need a scoring guard off the bench. And look, he can definitely run a show. I mean, he's averaged 7.5 assists last year. So the guy definitely has the playmaking chops. They need to have a secondary creator. He can not only create for himself, but others. So I like him in Detroit. And before you choose, let's for the Sixers in this next pick, let's talk about all the remaining options that the Sixers have. Is that fair?
Yeah. Dalen Swain would be our dream outcome, I think.
I think that he's a very strong. Yeah, I think he's probably number one on both of our boards. Now, I think after that, that's where it gets a little weird.
Yeah, he is number 8 on my overall board. I am very high on Dalen Swain.
Okay, so we have Dalen Swain there. I think my number 2... Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, continue. No, you go.
Okay, my number 2, and I've talked myself into this, and I know you don't necessarily... Well, actually, no. My number 2 is Joshua Jefferson.
I love Josh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I would be very happy with that.
Joshua Jefferson is my number 2. Who's your number 2?
My next guy would be Quaintance. Though obviously there's some risk there.
Nah, I can't. I don't need another big man that's injured constantly. I can't do it. I can't do that to myself. I can't do that to myself, Chris.
Very fair. But he will be the best defender in this draft if he reaches his ceiling. So
okay, my number 3. My number 3 here is KO Pete.
Co-op.
I've talked myself. I what?
It's KO Pete.
Oh, Koa Pete, sorry. Yeah. Koa Pete. Yeah, I've talked myself into Koa. I see him as an Aaron Gordon-esque type. Can learn how to shoot, hopefully, over time. I know the foul percentage is not there, but, like, he has good playmaking shot. He literally just can't shoot. That's it, Chris. He can rebound. He's a physical guy. He has an NBA-ready body. He just can't shoot. The guy can't shoot. That like that, and, like, look, you can teach. You can hope that you can teach guys shooting. So, look, and it's not like he never attempted any. He attempted more as the season went on in Arizona last year. So, like, I could talk myself into Koa Pete. I could talk myself into it. And it sounds like his agency wants him to go to the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk myself into it, too. I think he aligns with the with Mike Gansey's comments as far as, like, bringing in guys who are fountains, not drains, who want to compete and who are good teammates. I think that is Koa Pete to a T.
Yeah.
He's very physical and aggressive and athletic, which is definitely what the Sixers need. My next guy was Josh Jefferson. If we're going by my board, next guy after that would be Zubi Ejiofor.
I can't. He's a second rounder in my book.
I mean, you just said draft a literal power forward who can't shoot.
Yeah, and, but there's that, different types of Ejiofor guys.
Is a better defender at every level, a better rebounder, a better facilitator. He's just older, but he's better at pretty much everything than Kobe.
Look, if we can buy a second round pick early on, love it. But I just don't see him as a first round talent. My number four was Allen Graves, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Graves isn't on the board.
Oh, I would be very happy. Wait a second. You who did you have? Oh, that's right. You had him go 17th. My bad. Yeah, my number four is actually gonna be Henry Vassar.
Yeah.
Well, I'm willing to invest a first round pick on a center.
Yeah. I think that's fair, and I'm just gonna note this guy because he's definitely in the conversation, even if I don't have him quite as high as is Sinak, who we kind of mentioned with San Antonio.
Yeah, look, Sinak, he's a long-term projection. Look, he could end up being one of the better big men here if he's developed correctly. My question to you is, do we trust the Sixers to develop him correctly?
I don't know. I kind of question how much of a leash he's going to get from Nick Nurse.
Yeah. That's fair.
All right.
So anyway, so with the 22nd overall pick, the Philadelphia 76ers select who?
I mean, I think it's not wise to get caught up in like random rumors and smoke screens a week before the draft. So
who do you think they will? Not who we want, who
I
they
know.
Will.
I okay. know. Okay. Who I think they will pick. I don't think Jefferson's going that high. I don't think Ejiofor is going quite that high.
No.
I don't think Vassar would be. Vassar could definitely be the pick. I wouldn't rule that out. I think Taurus Reed could be the pick in theory. I think it's between Coapeat and Chris Sinek and Dalen Swain. I think that's.
Yeah, I think those are the three guys that they're circling the drain on.
If I had to guess.
The question is, who do you choose?
I think it should be Swain. I'm going to go out on a limb and just, given how Cleveland even has drafted, they've kind of swung for the toolsy guys. I'm going to go Sinek.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's fair. He kind of fits the Evan Mobley type of mold, right? So I can see it. Okay. Very loosely. I say that very nice in mold.
Yeah, he's a long way from that, but yeah.
But like the tools are there to get to an Evan Mobley-esque type player. A 4-5 who can stretch the floor and defend and rebound. That's the projection there.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Okay.
All right. Oh. Atlanta. All right. Lucas.
Atlanta.
They took Kingston Flemings at 8.
Yes, they did. So they got their point guard. They need a center now. I think they need a better option or more depth behind a Kongwu. This is where it gets interesting. What do they value here? I think they value a stretch big, right? So that's – and honestly, Sinek would have been perfect for them because I don't think Quintins can stretch the floor. Vassar can stretch the floor, right? I'm going to go ahead and read Vassar there.
Yeah, I like Vassar. I think he's a good fit. Which leaves the Knicks at 24, which I'm just going to do it. I'm going to give him points.
And okay.
In 5 years, we're all going to be like, how did the New York Knicks get the fifth best player in this draft? All right, Lakers at 25.
Their roster is basically empty. Outside of Luka Doncic now, right? So they could go best player available. And I think Ubaki Okori is still available, right?
Nope,
that's right. He's off. Let's see here. Who fits? I think it's between Allen Graves and...
he's not available.
Oh, that's right. You drafted him, didn't you?
Yes.
Keep on. Sorry. Then I'm going to go with... Two guys. Okay, so I think Joshua Jefferson or Taurus Reed fits them. I'm gonna go. Let me see here. Taurus Reed. He's not a high flyer, is he? Is he a rim runner?
No, but I mean he's a very good finisher.
I'm gonna go Joshua Jefferson here. Floor spacer. Would you rather go Taurus Reed here? I
can talk.
Okay, we'll do Taurus Reed. I'll flip it. No, I'll flip it. We'll do Torres Reed. They probably need a center.
I just don't know if Jefferson's going to be a first-round guy because I think teams are going to overthink it because he's not the best athlete.
I don't care about that.
But, I mean, look, if you're trying to build a team around Luka, I think a big guy who sets really good screens and blocks shots and can finish well is makes a lot of sense. I think he's going to be better than DeAndre Ayton sooner than later.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah, I like Jefferson a lot, and I would be very happy for the Lakers, I guess, if they took him there. But
yeah,
I feel like Reed has more buzz behind him right now. I could be totally wrong. Maybe there's always some weird stuff that we don't expect on draft night, though.
All right, well, we'll see.
You love sports. We live sports. Subscribe to Sports Illustrated Magazine and get the inside stories, bold opinions, and iconic photography that define the game. Don't wait. Go to si.com/SIPodOffer and join the legacy today.
Denver at 26 is an interesting one.
I kind of like Koa Pete there as an eventual replacement for Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, I do think Jokic is the kind of guy who could get the most out of Koa Pete, hypothetically. Also, Peyton Watson is approaching restricted free agency here, but... I think Pete would be an option. I think you could make a case for Ejiofor. I think you could make a case for Isaiah Evans and Malik Thomas, who are just like good off-ball shooters who can help them score more. I'm going to go – I'll go Cole Pete. I think that makes sense.
Okay.
Boston at 27, Lucas.
Boston needs a center. And I think this guy's probably a second rounder, but I think they might reach here because I think they're a little desperate. I think Baba Miller would be a really good fit for them.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not a center. If Ejiofor is not a center, Baba Miller's definitely not a center.
I mean, he's 6'11". They'll play him at center. Yeah. Okay, hold up. Okay, so we got three options here. Because I think they go big man, right? I don't think they don't go big man, right? So you have Baba, you have Zubi, and you have Ugana. I think those are you guys in that range, right?
I think Boston could just go who they perceive to be the best player available.
Well, if the best player available, then I think Isaiah Evans makes sense there. So I'll go Isaiah Evans.
Well, I don't want to, like, take your pick away from you.
You're right. They do best player available, and Isaiah Evans would be the best player available.
I think that would make some sense. I don't love Isaiah as much as everyone else, but this is...
He reminds me too much of Nick Young.
Yeah. Minnesota at 28. Would love if one of those really coveted point guards fell to them. Which didn't really happen in this case.
Well, they got a combo guard that they could go for.
I'm going to go with a Spanish guard.
Sergio de la Rea. That's not a bad pick.
Measured 6'6", barefoot, after the combine, after his season ended in Valencia. 6'9", wingspan, 204 pounds, really high field player. I think he's going to be a first-round pick. Kept his name in the draft. That gives you some indication of where he believes he's going to go, at least. I'm going to send him to Minnesota. I think that makes a lot of sense. He can play off the ball, good shooter. You can put him next to Ant, and he's just going to make the right decisions and make things easier on everyone else.
Okay. All right, not bad.
Cleveland at 29, Lucas.
I'm trying to decide between, because it's two options for me here, either Alex Caraban or Joshua Jefferson. I don't know who I want there because I think both of them work for different reasons, right?
Yeah.
Okay, help me out here. Who makes more sense for them?
I mean, if I were making the pick for them, I'd go with Jefferson. But I could see you thinking, like, we have Donovan Mitchell and James Harden who are going to dominate the ball, and Caraban is just a very reliable spot-up shooter who fits, who's won a bunch in college. I could see them getting into that kind of mindset.
I think I would go Jefferson, but I think they go Caravan here.
I would also like, you know, there's some Dennis Schroeder trade rumors out there. Malik Thomas is still on the board.
I like Malik, but not that much.
That's fair. All right, so you're going Jefferson or Caravan?
Caravan.
Okay. Definitely would not be shocked if he sneaks into the first round. Dallas at 30. They picked Burries right at 9.
Yeah.
Which would make a Malik Thomas pick very uncharacteristic of that front office.
I don't think they need center. They could go center. They could do Zubac here.
Need a center. I think there's a pretty hard cutoff after about pick 30-ish. I mean, I like Zubi Ejiofor and, you know, kind of value him more than others, but I think Zubi would be in very strong consideration here. I think Thomas would be consideration just because he's a freshman, and frankly, most of these freshmen are not going to declare for the draft unless they think they have a promise of some kind somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Malik Thomas thinks he's going to fall out of the first round. That doesn't mean it can't happen. But
yeah.
I'm going to go with Zubi Ejiofor here.
Okay.
I think I don't hate it. As a Ujiri, Mike Schmitz kind of pick.
Yeah, that does make sense.
I think Dallas could be a Baba Miller team if he is going to be like the, you know, like Yannick Conan Niederhauser, who just kind of came out of nowhere and was the 30th pick last year.
Yeah.
Let's see the vision with Baba, and I could see that being the kind of guy who really appeals to that Dallas front office. So I wouldn't count out Baba Miller there. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't count out Malik Thomas, but I'm going to go with Ejiofor.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's beyond fair.
Dependable kind of fit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think that's beyond fair, honestly. Now, let me just ask you this before we wrap things up. Which team do you think the Sixers can buy a second-round pick from?
I mean, I don't know.
Or trade for one.
I don't think there's a ton of, like, super coveted players in that range. I mean, I think, obviously, in this specific scenario, there would be a lot of guys trying to, like, buy Malik Thomas at 31. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just going to be a thing. And I would...
Yeah.
I would love Malik Thomas in Philly at 31. That would be great. I think you can buy a pick from any team in that range, really.
I think the Spurs have 3 picks in the second round.
Okay? Yeah.
So I think the Spurs are a prime candidate. Washington has two second-round picks. I think the Chicago Bulls have 2 second-round picks.
Yeah.
And the Brooklyn Nets have 2.
Nets already have 5 rookies from last year. So.
Yeah. And then the Clippers have 2 as well. So, like...
Yeah.
I think there is a way that we can get a second round pick if the front office wants to go that route.
100%.
Whether or not they do, you're going to have 3 second round picks next year. I think you need to invest 1 or 2 of them to get a second rounder for this year. So,
yeah, I wouldn't be against that. If you could get a Malik Thomas or a Ejiofor or a Josh Johnson like early in the second round, I'd be very, very pleased with that outcome.
Look, the Nets have the 33rd and the 43rd pick. You could trade 1 or 2 second rounders to get that 33rd pick.
Totally. That's like super, super believable. So, yeah, I would not be shocked at all if that happened.
So, Chris, how do we like our mock draft here? Our last official one before the draft, we will not be recording again until the eve of the draft, right?
Yes. I like it. I think it makes sense all the way down. Now, we'll probably feel silly when new reports come out tomorrow or whatever, but as always, none of the things that are reported before the draft, only half of it actually comes to fruition. Like, there's so much variance and randomness in every draft, and so trying to like base your predictions off of who's being floated by X, Y, and Z reporter right now is really you know, a fool's errand. So I feel good. I think a lot of this makes sense. I do not think Tabanza to Washington is like a done deal.
Yeah.
Maybe my opinion that Tabanza is the third best player in this draft is coloring that a little bit, but I don't think Boozer is completely out of the fold. I know Kevin O'Connor has been pegging Boozer to Utah at two.
Yeah, I've been seeing that too. I'm just like, what?
A lot of funky things can happen. I mean, we know Danny Ainge has not gone with the guard with strange happenings around him in the past and benefited from taking the bigger player from Duke.
If they do that, they have to trade Lauri Markkanen. I'm sorry. Like, you can't bring out. Like, either that or you're not starting Walker Kessler.
Yeah. I mean, look, it seems like Walker Kessler is not, like, a guarantee to get a new deal there these days. So
that's crazy. Because, like, he's so good. I don't understand why they don't like him.
I agree. I don't think I would love starting Jaren Jackson at the five, even with Boozer and Markkanen there to kind of help him on the glass. But
yeah, that just seems like that's a disaster.
If Boozer's the best player.
Well, I think you start Boozer at the five if you, you know, do that route. I'm just saying, I think that would be.
Maybe that's how you want to organize it. I have to imagine there's a way to make it work with that many good players. Even if Boozer's coming off the bench for the first 20 games or whatever, you know, having too many good players, I think, is rarely a bad thing. We haven't really talked about it, but like the Dylan Harper comments from Devin Vassell of like, oh, wasn't super happy with his role this year. You could run into that a little bit, but the Spurs were in the finals and Dylan Harper was very good and very.
Like, everybody knows Dylan Harper is the second best player on that team.
Yeah, he is. So it can be done. I don't think too many good players at a position is necessarily a problem. You'll find ways to play Cam Boozer a lot. You'll find ways to make it work. I think he fits Utah's offense really well. I think he's the best player.
Look, I've always said that I think Cam Boozer's actually a center. I think that would be his ideal role, despite being slightly undersized for it.
He has the body. But
look, he can play small ball for center.
He could. I he's just not really a rim protector, which is.
But that's why you have Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a great rebounder. That'll help next to Jaren. If they want to try that, you can make it happen.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Anyway, yeah. Sorry. That being said, I think that's pretty much it. Nothing much out on the Sixers side of things since, you know, the Mike Gansey thing. Mike Gansey, you know.
Yeah, they need a couple weeks to just get their
sea legs underneath. Yeah.
So we'll maybe have more to talk about next week on Monday when we do our Big Sixers draft preview. And we'll be recording after the first round, too, or after the second round. We'll figure that out.
Probably not the first round. I got to do another podcast.
Yeah.
I might just push it back. I might just tell them that we'll have to do it Wednesday. We'll see. When does the first round end?
When does it end?
Yeah.
Like time?
Time.
I do not know. Probably like 10 o'clock or something.
Oh, well then, yeah, I can do that. Okay. I might just
figure it out.
We can do an after first round. I think we can do that. I think we can squeeze that in. If you're game, I'm game. I think I can make that work with my other podcast. They'll just have to wait until Wednesday. Get over yourselves.
Yeah.
Respectfully, of course. Love you guys. That 14 rings. But anyway, that being said, Chris, I think it's time for you to play us out, my friend.
Yeah, as always, everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Sixer Sense podcast. Like, subscribe, follow along. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Play. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter at Sixer Sense. I'm at KleinNBA. Lucas is at CoachJ_20. You can also follow us on TikTok. And if you visit my Twitter account, you can sign up for my daily draft text if that's the kind of thing you're into. Chris Klein's
draft. It's not spammy, guys.
It's not spammy. It's me giving my real thoughts on the draft. And it's just a daily text to your phone, and you can respond, and we can chat about whatever you want to talk about. So it's a fun new thing we're doing. And until next time, go Sixers. Peace out. We'll talk soon.
Let's go.